Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay in the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
As a lifelong Philadelphia 76ers fan,
this is my favorite bit of yours on Twitter. Every team, when you want them to do something you don't want the Lakers to do, you say you've been a lifelong fan of insert team X.
As a fan of the Philadelphia 76ers
do it right. Lifelong.
Lifelong. Since my birth in 1986.
I know, but it sounds better when you do lifelong.
All right. Since 76. A lifelong and just, I bleed red, white, and blue.
Wait a second. You go to a lot of Delaware blue coats, I think it is, games.
Yeah. I did actually in high school own multiple pairs of Iverson shoes, but that's because he was an incredible.
The Reebok. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I loved all of them. I think I had like four pairs of them. So like as somebody who just diehard lifelong Philadelphia 76ers
huge
fan.
Yep.
There is nobody I trust more to help with the difficult decisions that they have ahead of them with James Harden than Doc Rivers, than Glenn, Dr. Glenn Rivers. I don't know his middle name.
You're a big fan of discovering TJ McConnell and Robert Covington during the process. Mm-hmm. You're just a huge fan. All that.
Yeah. I have a Sam Hinkie shirt, those Sam Hinkie posters that were like the Obama Hope posters. Like mm-hmm. the Hinkie Hope posters, I have all of that stuff. It's just off camera. You can't see.
You completely support Andre Iguodala, one-time All-Star Andre Iguodala, Finals MVP Andre Iguodala, but not for your team.
Yeah, I totally think that he should have won that Finals MVP.
Hall of Famer Andre Iguodala, you're just in.
All right.
You have an Eric Snow poster hanging up in your room.
All right. Daryl Morey, quote, "We're excited about what we can build from here. We're going to figure this out, but we feel like there's a lot to build on." Says that's on him, Elton Brand, and Doc Rivers to figure out. Let's go. As for me, a lifelong 76ers fan, I'm very excited that Doc Rivers
you
is
are
in
pro
on
that triumvirate of figuring it out.
Let's segue over to and by the way, we'll come back to those quotes as they come in from that exit interview. But I want to segue over here to Kyrie Irving and Nike, who is not committing to him and a beyond this up. I think he has a contract that runs through the end of this year with
Signet. I think it's next season.
Yeah, it runs through the end of next season.
Yeah.
Where he has a signature shoe deal with Nike, and they are not committing to Kyrie Irving beyond that. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving has made a very popular shoe over the years. He makes a very comfortable shoe, which, like, for me as somebody who enjoys shoes, I've not always enjoyed Kyrie, but I've bought Kyrie shoes anyway because I find them very comfortable. I find this really interesting that Nike is not willing to commit to him. We saw from Kiwi, from Sean Marks. Thank you.
Let's go back. Another wonderful California Golden Bear, Kiwi.
Yeah. So he was not willing to necessarily commit to Kyrie, saying that he wants players that are committed and will be around every day in the Brooklyn Nets organization. Right. Kyrie called himself a martyr, which Kyrie, you can't be a martyr if you're able to literally call yourself a martyr. Most martyrs, all martyrs are dead. And then, you know,
voice for the voiceless. Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless of how you, because I am one who understands some of the hypocrisies that existed with those vaccine mandates, that it was super weird that opposing players could play in the Brooklyn Nets arena, but a home player couldn't. I understand if you were frustrated with the situation, why you would have been frustrated with the situation. I am also, by the way, completely understanding and mostly hold the belief of just get the damn shot and we can all move forward as a society. So like both of those things, parts of both of those things can be true.
Yes.
I also find it incredibly selfish of Kyrie and every other athlete who hurt their team by not getting the vaccine. I'm a Vikings fan. And at various points of last season, they didn't have Dalvin Cook. They didn't have Kirk Cousins.
Didn't Cousins say he was like gonna do stuff in a plexiglass?
He's a moron. Yeah. Speaking of guys who I wish would have been traded, it's lifelong Vikings fans. Anyway, but it's motherfucker. Kirk Cousins. Adam Thielen also missed time because of his stance on vaccines.
Who was the Bills? The Bills receiver?
Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
From a sheer competitive standpoint, those guys and the decisions that they made were selfish in that it hurt their teams from a competitive standpoint.
Yes.
And I completely understand where Sean Marks is coming from.
Yes.
If he's saying, I want players who are committed, actually committed to what we're trying to build here. And I completely understand Nike's perspective where, as a brand, they have built like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. Like they have built this brand on winners, on people who are willing to do whatever it took to compete and win in their respective sports, especially in basketball. And if Kyrie is not willing to do that, he isn't maintaining Nike's the brand that Nike has tried to build. So I also understand where Nike is coming from here. I just find the timing of all of this super interesting. And if it's enough to either get Kyrie to wake up or if it's going to push Kyrie out the door of the NBA, which wouldn't surprise me all that much.
Yeah, I agree that all of this is...
Daryl Morey says Doc Rivers will be back next season as a lifelong 76ers fan. Let's go! Woo!
Yeah,
hot damn, I'm going to pour myself another cocktail for that one.
I think I'm drinking Hennessy and it is delicious as it relates to Doc Rivers. I am drinking Hennessy and it is delicious. I think I agree that this is fascinating because, I mean, Kyrie's a wonderful, fantastic basketball player.
One of my favorite basketball players to watch play, like legitimately.
And there are things that, so for some players, and Kyrie is right towards the top of this list. The three most popular players in the NBA as it relates to this kind of thing are the two most popular players in the NBA are LeBron and Steph.
Mm-hmm.
The three most popular players as it relates to shoes are LeBron, Steph, and Kyrie also. But the two most popular players with kids tend to be or seem to be Steph and Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Steph is one of the best, whatever. That you could make an argument he was the best player in the world at some points. But he is like consistently one of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 best players in the world. Kyrie is fantastic, but has never reached that level. So his popularity, especially with kids who are what Nike is going after, or what shoe companies, not just Nike, but shoe companies and the NBA like want to popularize, his popularity probably exceeds his status in the NBA the most.
Yeah.
Kyrie has been insanely popular with kids for forever. Part of it, like Steph, part of it is it's more relatable, right? Because Kyrie and Steph are both small guys. The handles are really popular. The shooting is really popular, right? You can imagine yourself, you can't be Kyrie or Steph, but kids can imagine them. All right, you know what? I'm gonna say it the actual way.
Yeah.
White kids from the middle of the country can see themselves being Steph or Kyrie.
Yeah, they'll never have the athleticism that LeBron, Giannis, those guys have.
Right,
yeah.
You're not going to be a 6'8". You're not going to be right. Like,
LeBron, but you can be skilled. You can convince right. yourself that you might develop
you can
those
work,
skills.
You can work on your handle uh-huh. and your shooting, and you cannot turn yourself into Steph or Kyrie. But the idea, the fantasy that you can turn yourself into Steph or Kyrie is there. In ways that it is not for LeBron, it is not for Giannis, it is not for Embiid, it is not right. Those guys are like physical freaks of nature. That, and this is not to diminish the work that they have put in, but they have a starting place because of winning the genetic lottery in ways that Steph and Kyrie did not. So white kids from wherever can see themselves much more easily as Steph or Kyrie. So Kyrie is the guy whose popularity, specifically amongst kids and the shoe buying public, that has so far exceeded his status in the league. And Kyrie at times has been a top 15 or 20 player, but he is consistently a top 2 or 3 person in that regard. And this is, you mentioned Sean Marks, and this, I think, is very much Nike saying the same thing as Sean Marks is saying, although Nike is saying it more obviously because Sean Marks has to be a little bit more vague about it.
Mm-hmm.
We think that Kyrie is unreliable.
Yeah.
And if he is going to be unreliable, we have to have questions about building our team or from Nike's perspective, building our brand around him. And even if this vaccine mandate stuff goes away, and Kyrie has shown himself to be unreliable as it relates to availability for his basketball team, way more than just the vaccine stuff. So even if the vaccine stuff is not a question anymore, I think it is fair for Nike, and frankly, I think it's fair for the Nets also, to say,
yeah, like, will he find some other excuse not to be around?
Well, he last season, yeah. He disappeared, right? Like the Nets and Steve Nash is up there having to answer questions like, what's up with Kyrie? And Steve Nash is going, I don't know where the dude is. I haven't talked to him. I don't know. Like, so I think it is very fair for Nike to ask the questions like, if this dude is going to be unreliable and not show up to play as many basketball games as he is physically able to, like, why do we want to do this?
Yeah. Right. I think. Yeah, the reliability is the best way to put it. And the predictability is the best way to put it. Like, you yeah. sign somebody, you commit to somebody based on their predictability. Kevin Durant is probably Kyrie's closest friend in the NBA now.
From the outside, it appears that they're very close. I don't know anything about their relationship mm-hmm. specifically, but we have enough evidence.
Based on what based on what we can glean, he seems like he's, you know, one of, if not Kyrie's best friends in the NBA. And even he seemed frustrated at times with Kyrie's unprofessionalism. And again, whether it's the vaccine, whether it was like back, remember back in the bubble, he was not only saying that he wasn't going to participate in the bubble or would never participate in the bubble, but was also trying to convince everybody to sit out the bubble.
Right.
Like, look, I have unlimited.
And by the way, Kyrie, let's be fair though. Kyrie does a lot of
He does
a lot of great work. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. He does. I don't want to completely demonize this guy, but like the point of the conversation here is like, it's interesting to see so many without crime, like no crime is involved here. And so many invested parties in Kyrie are just getting out of the Kyrie business. And, and I think the lesson here is that like you can be immensely talented, which he is. You can be a literal champion, which he is. You can be insanely popular too, which like, by the way, Nike pulling out of the Kyrie business, that I could totally see New Balance being interested in
or some other entity. Yeah.
Yeah. Under Armour. Right. I don't think
Steph having that, but go on.
That would be funny to see those two under the same.
I don't think Steph having that, but go ahead. But keep cooking.
He'll make $1 less than Steph. But like, I find this whole Kyrie subject fascinating because for so long, basically in sports, we have been told like, if you are talented, and by the way, like it still remains the case as evidenced by the fact that Deshaun Watson is the highest paid player in the NFL. Like if you are immensely talented, companies, teams, brands will overlook a whole bunch of shit.
78 extra chances that other people would not get. Yeah.
Right. But it's wild to see somebody Kyrie's age and as talented as Kyrie reach that breaking point here in these couple respects where people are, despite the talent, are still saying, you know what, man? I don't know. You have to prove it to us first.
You know what's so interesting about this is it is similar to his teammate Ben Simmons' situation. Like the circumstances are not similar, but it is similar in the way that, at least from my perspective, and again, I say this all the time, I believe Ben Simmons and I am respectful of whatever mental health stuff he has going on. And I think we need to take the man at his word. I also suffer from mental health challenges. And in a hyper competitive world as the NBA is, I have nothing but respect for Ben Simmons coming to the forefront and saying, I'm struggling, right? I think that's very important.
Well, he hasn't come to the forefront. I want him to come to the forefront.
He personally hasn't, but
yeah.
His representation has said that he is struggling. So I get all that, and I am very respecting of all of those, all of that. But the way in which it's similar, in my opinion, to the Kyrie situation is at some point, as it relates to Nike or whoever else your business partners are, as it relates to your team and your partners in that, your teammates and your organization, at some point you gotta hoop, right? At some point, like you just gotta hoop. You gotta play. You have to be available to your team.
I'm blanking on who said it originally, right? But you still got to do the main thing.
Pat Riley, keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, that's it. That's Pat it. Riley. Yeah. Yeah. The main thing for Kyrie is basketball. The thing that made him Kyrie Irving in the first place was his ability to do spectacular things on a basketball court. And at some point, he seems to have forgotten that. And until he goes back.
People call AD, right? Like the best ability is availability, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like, so whatever parts of your availability are in your control, Ben Simmons, he has the back thing also. But like, whatever parts of it are in your control, Kyrie, Ben's like, you have to control those things. And he chose, and it's an okay choice for him to make. He's a grown man, and he can believe whatever he wants to believe. But his choice made him unavailable to his team.
Yep. Yeah.
You gotta like at some point, you gotta hoop, right? Like if Kyrie was hurt and could play 30 games or however many games Kyrie ended up playing, if he could only play those games, if he got hurt and couldn't play, Nike would not be having this conversation.
Yeah,
it's because he is choosing.
Yeah,
and it is his choice, and I respect the man's choice to do whatever you choose.
Yeah,
get the vaccine.
I also respect
the vaccine, but.
I also respect Nike and Sean Marks' decision to distance himself from somebody who doesn't want to be there.
Who is choosing to be unavailable. Yeah. I agree completely.
Yeah. All right. Last thing here before we get up out of here, the weekend promises to be a very exciting one in the NBA. It kicks off tonight with the Bucks and Celtics playing their game six. Mm-hmm. Follows that up with the Dubs and Grizz playing their game six. Mm-hmm. And then over the weekend, we get Mavs Suns game seven. This is my favorite time of the year. Like, you just have, I just listed, you know, maybe, it's a handful of the best teams in the NBA. They're all playing games with giant stakes attached to them.
The three teams that can win the NBA Finals are all playing in closeout games tonight.
Yeah.
Three teams.
I'm more curious about Miami than I thought I would be over the course of the playoffs, but they also probably played a very fraudulent Philadelphia team.
Miami winning nothing.
All right, let's start with the first one that we're going to see tonight. And by the way, we'll see about a pressure cooker tonight. We'll see. If the Celtics are losing, we're doing a pressure cooker.
I'm with it, brother.
All right, but Bucks Celtics.
Are we going to do a pressure cooker even if the Celtics are getting cooked?
Oh, yes.
Right, like a pressure cooker. It ain't no pressure, but the Celtics are cooked, so let's do it.
Exactly. All right. So we'll do.
We head to the fourth quarter. It is Bucks 102, Celtics 79.
We are here in the cooker.
Right. Yeah. Ain't no pressure, but they getting cooked.
So the Bucks and Celtics tonight, how do you think that plays out? Do you think the Bucks take care of business and don't let it get back to Boston for game seven?
I do.
I do too.
I do. you and I, because of our
allegiances.
Yes, allegiances, are both rooting against the Celtics, but I have also said before the playoffs started, that I thought the finals was going to be Warriors Bucks. So I also, and I think it is not an absolute. There's nothing in this world that's absolute. But I think the winner of Bucks Celtics wins the East. I don't think Miami has anything for either one of them. So part of it is I want to be right. Part of it is
yeah.
But part of it is I don't want the Celtics going farther. I don't want them going to the finals. But I also think that, and by the way, something to pay attention to is Giannis, without the creation of Middleton, mm-hmm. is carrying such a heavy offensive load that he looks cooked at the end of these games. So that's something to pay attention to. But I think not having Time Lord has mattered a lot for the Celtics. And I think the Bucks, you can't fake desperate. And as we'll talk a little bit later about the Warriors and Memphis. And I think that's what you're seeing in that series. So I think that the Celtics are going to come out desperate, and you can't fake that. But I think the Bucks are going to have the requisite level of desperation because they don't want to go back to Boston.
Yeah.
So I think that, I do. I think it's going to be like tight. I think it's going to be hard fought. It's one of the most physical series I've seen maybe ever, certainly since, you know, whatever those Knicks and Heat rock fights in the 90s that finished mm-hmm. like 72-68. And I just think this is where you lean on Giannis, and this is where the Giannis of I finally summited that mountain and won a title, and you guys haven't and don't know what it takes to get there. I think this is where we see that. And in a low scoring, hard fought game, I think the Bucks close them out.
Yeah, I think Giannis is too good at this point to lose a game six at home, a closeout game at home. I think it's a much more closely matched series than I thought it would be, which is a, you know, begrudging respect to Boston and what they've built this year. I think even if Robert Williams can go, he's not going to be 100%. So if he isn't able to go, that hurts. And if he's not 100%, that also it stings. And it just comes down to Giannis is the best player in the world right now. And I trust that dude in a closeout game at home with the stakes of going back to Boston specifically. Because you just it's like that winning time scene.
Yeah, man. The leprechaun.
Like,
yeah.
Weird shit happens in that building, man. And if you can avoid going there for a game seven, you need to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah. So I used to say, and I maybe have said it on this show, that I thought LeBron was the best player in the world, but Steph Curry was the boogeyman. He was the dude that like even other NBA superstars were afraid of. And I think at this point, well, Giannis is the best player in the world. I agree with you.
Yeah,
but Giannis might also. He might also be the boogeyman now.
Yeah.
I think Steph Curry is still a boogeyman, right? But Giannis may be the boogeyman in addition to being the best player in the world. He terrifies people. And like rightfully so. He's also gotten a pretty good whistle this series. Yeah. Giannis is out there like playing
trucking.
Like fullback a lot of times. So
he has the truck stick, like just perpetually pushed
actually,
forward.
I haven't seen not that the NBA would be interested in such things, but they're out there. But I think it is Scott Foster. I haven't seen the ref assignments.
Scott Foster is in game six here.
Yeah. So I think it is going to be interesting to see early on what kind of tone is set for what is allowable and what is not.
Yeah.
In this game. Because if Giannis is allowed to basically just put his shoulder into everybody's chest and dunk everything when he tries to go to the basket and either gets the call or more importantly doesn't get called for offensive fouls, then the Celtics are in trouble. But I think it should be interesting to see how game six is officiated. Because if Giannis gets the whistle like he's gotten in this series, that's why he's the boogie. He's the best player without it, but that's the thing that makes him the boogeyman. Like,
yeah, there's no way to guard him if he's getting a favorable. No, there's nothing at all you can do.
He's Shaq with a handle. No.
Yeah,
he's gonna bowl you over. He's getting to the rim. He's dunking everything. No, you have no chance.
How confident are you in your Warriors here in Game Six?
The team that I have.
Your Warriors.
Yeah, that I'm covering for the silver screen and roll. Very, very.
Me too. When Draymond started dancing to whoop that trick, yeah. and when Steph was sitting there smiling, I said, "Oh my God, they're gonna kill him."
Yeah,
I think they're gonna kill Memphis.
There is some pause though, because you expect a playoff team Steph with championship DNA, right? Like the championship DNA is recognizing the moment and taking things seriously. And stepping on somebody's throat when you can. So I thought the Warriors were going to win pretty easily in game five. And they looked like they couldn't be bothered at all. And again, you can't fake desperate. But I think going home and shout out Joe Lacob getting whatever, $10 million for another home game. Did he want to win game five? Probably. Is he like miserable he's getting another home game? Maybe not. I think kind of like similar to the Bucks. The fact that it got to 3-2 and you don't want to have to go back on the road. I don't think the Warriors will be as desperate as Memphis, because again, you can't fake desperate, but I think the Warriors will be desperate enough that they'll look like they care. Clean up some of the turnovers. The Warriors are turnover prone. And Memphis generated the most turnovers in the NBA. And the Warriors, it's one of their bad habits. But I suspect they're not going to just act like they don't care at all. And I have virus and threat protection, if you would like to know that we need to update that. So I think the Warriors are better than Memphis with Ja. But without Ja, it's not close. The Gary Payton being out obviously is a thing. Otto Porter not being available is a problem for the Warriors. Andre Iguodala not being available is a problem for the Warriors. But if the Warriors care, they're going to win. So I think that you're going to see a Warriors team that cares enough that they should win pretty easily.
Yeah, I think the Warriors know that whether they play Dallas or Phoenix, which I think they're going to be playing Phoenix, I think they know.
I don't know. I agree with you going in, but I don't know.
Well, but like
Chris Paul has been an abomination for like a week and a half now.
I don't know why people are surprised.
Right, but that's the point, right? Like as the playoffs and then as series and the playoffs in general,
as he stops getting those stupid cheap ass calls.
But it's also he wears down and he has looked old and worn down.
Yeah.
Did you see Pat Bev on was it this morning or I think it was yesterday?
I missed it. I know I must have missed it.
Pat Bev was on ESPN and Perk was talking about like I don't know. He basically Pat Bev said the Warriors are winning the title. He'd like, are the Warriors in trouble? And Pat Bev said, no, the Warriors are winning the title. That's the Warriors. And then Perk was like, no, they're in trouble against Phoenix. And Pat Bev said, them boys gonna run Chris Paul off the floor. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Chris Paul has looked the last, even though the Phoenix has won, they've won one of the last four games. Chris Paul has looked very, very old all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think he's had either close to, if not fewer, assists than turnovers over the last, handful of
games.
He's getting
beat up by Luka and so
they're targeting him too. Like
correct.
Jalen is posting him up.
Correct.
Luka is posting him up. So.
And they're doing the same thing that we saw in round one with Grand Theft Alvarado.
Yeah.
And Herb Jones were picking him up. They're letting him off the ball sometimes because. Yeah. Dorian Finney-Smith and
Reggie.
By the way, we've changed his name now. He's decided his last name is pronounced Bullock.
Bullock.
Instead of Bullock. But anyway, Reggie Bullock, who's one of the best dudes around. There have been times where Chris Paul is like, I don't want these problems and not bringing the ball up. So I wouldn't be so quick to write off the Mavs is what I'm saying.
I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying I think that Golden State probably faces Phoenix. But the point that I was making is that, like, Golden State, I think, recognizes having one game's worth of rest compared to whoever they face in that matchup. Because these games are taking more out of Golden State than I have seen these games take out of Golden State before. Which
I agree with that.
Makes sense because, like, they're older than they were before. So I think Golden State recognizes, and Kerr, like, I think this is the value of having Steve Kerr on your sidelines.
Although not again tonight.
Right, but like he's still in the organization.
Yeah, and the meetings. And
And so like I think he's really going to hammer home to everybody involved in the best way that he can as a disciple of Phil Jackson, who is really good in elimination games. His teams are really good in elimination games. They didn't play very many extra ones. We have to take care of business here. We can't fuck around with these guys anymore.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say we talked about it a little bit in Mavs Suns, and how close this matchup is. I just want a close game between these two teams. Like,
yeah, there ain't been one yet. Yeah.
And I think it really kind of speaks to the inexperience on both of these sides that. There is such swings with these role players home and away that we have seen.
The home team has won in a blowout all six. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's where I still have questions about Dallas's ability to win in Phoenix because we haven't seen a collective, really good effort in Phoenix from their role players to this
point. Who's the best player on the floor, though?
Well, it's, far and away, it's Luka.
Right.
Far and away, it's Luka. But
although, by the way, can we get like 11 or 13 or 15 or 77 games in this series? I want to watch him and Devin Booker. I need more of this feud. I am in for this feud.
It's like the brattiest feud I've ever seen.
We need like 40 more games of this. And I want them to play every night. So there isn't a break where they can calm down. I want in fact, you know what? Let's just call it. Let's start the series over and just have Luka and Devin Booker play one-on-one for seven games.
I And by the way, like, they're both, I think, roughly the same age, right? I think
Booker's a little older. I think Booker is 25 and Luka's 22. Well,
that's close enough.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's similar.
A couple years. This is the kind of rivalry that I think can extend for a little bit. Like, this can be.
We need this.
Yeah, like, this is a good, like, appetizer to what will become, I think, one of the central kind of rivalries in the sport for.
And they're both kind of whiny.
Yeah, so I mean, it's the brattiest. Yeah.
And they're both like, whatever, top, like, they're both like 90th percentile shit talkers in the NBA. And not even for like quality of shit talk, just most.
Yeah. Well, every time they show either, like, what they are really, really good at is facial expressions. Like, I think every time they zoom in on either Luka or Booker, they are so good at having the perfect facial expression for that moment.
Did you see
a lot of resting bitch face in this series is what I'm saying.
Did I see it on Twitter or Instagram? I can't remember, but when Booker got that like sort of hard foul, but not really, and like stayed down under the basket for 30 or 45 seconds.
Yeah.
There was somebody was taking video of it, and he like looked over at the camera and winked.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm doing my Luka. Right. Cause he was like, he was staying down trying to get the foul increased to a flagrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, with the name check, the Luka name check, love it.
Yeah. I really enjoy the series. Just give me one close game here between these two teams.
So, like, so call it now. I've said it for 3 months, but call it now. Who's in the final? I'm not even gonna ask you your winner. You can give it if you want, but who you got in the finals?
In the finals?
Yeah, because by the time we talk again, it's the conference finals will be set, so it'll make it easy then. I want you on record.
Man, I think it's Bucks coming out of the East, and it is, man, I guess Warriors coming out of the West, and I'm gonna go out and buy a Bucks jersey.
Okay. Do you think the Bucks beat them, or we know you want the Bucks to beat them, but do you think the Bucks beat them?
Yeah, I do. I think Giannis presents now. If there is anybody who can challenge Giannis, I think Draymond is specifically equipped for that matchup. But I think that's where. Like, a lot is going to matter. A lot of weight is going to be on whether Chris Middleton can go in the finals, which he would have another couple weeks to be able to do, and maybe, just maybe, he's available. If he's available, then I think Milwaukee wins in, like, six. Mm-hmm. If he's not, then I think it's a seven-game coin flip type series.
The Warriors would have home court in that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't disagree with that. I agree. I think it's Warriors Bucks in the finals.
Yeah.
Giannis is a bad man.
Yeah.
Well,
it's similar to the old Warriors Cavs series, where like the Warriors, I think, top to bottom are the better roster, but then you look over and it's the best player in the world. Like, it's, you know, and I think Milwaukee is a better team than some of those Cavs teams. But still, like, you're still,
although not without Middleton, but yes, I agree.
Yeah.
With you.
But you're still looking over there and you're saying, like, man, the thing I would bet on to make it competitive, or let alone Milwaukee come out and win, is Giannis just goes ballistic and wins the series by himself. Do you think Iguodala wins another Finals MVP for holding Giannis to a triple double? Or
well, he's already been ruled out. He has a neck issue. He's already been ruled out of the rest of this series. He was reevaluated. Mm-hmm. I think the Warriors suspect that he would come back for the Western Conference Finals at some point, and definitely the Finals at some point. But that's one to monitor. GP2, who knows? And again, Otto Porter Jr., who knows? So you mentioning Phil and wanting to get your work done and get business over with, you're seeing it. You said these games are taking a toll on the Warriors more than you've seen. I mean, it is quite literally, right? Physically taking a toll on. It's why I've said you never give playoff games away. The one reason I think the Warriors would beat the Bucks is because what the Bucks defense is designed to do is give up threes to theoretically who you want and where you want. That ain't go- the Warriors haven't shot.
There's
the ball
no
well.
Such thing as
that ain't gonna work against the Warriors.
Yeah, there is no such thing on the Warriors as who you want to shoot a three here.
No, I mean it's Draymond, but when they play lineups with, and by the way, the Warriors would have trouble there.
But because, he doesn't shoot them. Like he's disciplined enough to where
if your choices are like you've seen, and Tatum and Jaylen Brown even have had a ton of open threes this series. They haven't made them, but Jason Tatum is a great player. Jaylen Brown is a very, very, very good player. But as shooters, I mean, those guys are like Wiggins level 3-point shooters. And dudes are not Steph, Clay, and Poole.
No.
And you're going to give, if you give them and you're going to play drop with Brooke Lopez, you're going to give those dudes open threes, you're in trouble.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it here for this episode of The Hook. This week's episode's here.
Hold on. By the way, wait, one more thing. Just got this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, DG, I wanted to mention this earlier. One of my favorite dudes, Danny Green, one of the best dudes around, tore an ACL.
Yeah, that it looked brutal in the moment. And, you know, everybody was just kind of holding their breath, hoping that it wouldn't be this. It turns out that's what this is. You know, prayers up, and I hope that he's able to recover. But there's a chance we've seen the last of Danny Green in the NBA. So
that also factors into all the
incredible career though. Like I'm not saying I'm clearly not hoping all of that stuff, but if at 35 years old with a torn ACL that this is the end of Danny Green's career, incredible. The fact that he went from somebody who was considered a draft bust for his time in Cleveland once upon a time to recreating his game and becoming
Didn't he get cut?
Yeah, he got cut. One of
it was a second round pick and got cut.
One of, if not the kind of prototypical 3-and-D wings,
absolutely,
in San Antonio, helped kind of create, I would argue, the most impactful type of role player that we've seen since he started playing and since he started filling that role, and did it better than just about anybody else in the history of the sport. Did what specifically what he had to do, and I think. Also, probably more importantly, showcase to a lot of young players coming up through the NBA that you can get paid for being elite at what your team needs you to do to win. Mm-hmm. And I think as a result of that, has actually made the league a better place than it was back when he was just some second rounder who was cut out of Cleveland.
And he's just one of the best humans. he's one of my favorite guys I've met in my time in the league. So, yeah, I'm sad about this one.
This sucks. It really does. I really hope that it isn't the end of it. I hope he gets one more opportunity to kind of retire on his terms. And look,
he ain't retiring yet. He got $10 million coming to him from the Sixers next year. He ain't retiring yet.
I think it's non guaranteed. I think
no, he has $10 million. He has $10 million. Well, good. The Sixers next year. Yeah, good. He ain't retiring. But good. It also factors in all that Harden conversation that we were having earlier in the roster building stuff from Doc and the Sixers.
Yeah.
It factors into that because he was their only one of those guys. He's their only three, and like Matisse Thybulle ain't making no jumpers. Like,
yeah,
he's their only one of those guys. So it factors into that. But yeah, DG is one of my favorites. So I'm
Lakers champion, Danny Green. That's right. Wish you all the best, bud. All right, that is going to do it for this episode of The Hook and this week's episodes here on the Silver Screen Roll Podcast Network. Exciting. I can't wait to get to this weekend of NBA basketball, playoff basketball. Oui. It's going to be great, kicking off only in a few hours, basically, from now. So if I talk to y'all in a pressure cooker as the Celtics season ends, I will talk to you guys then. If not, I'll talk to you on Monday. Aaron and I, you know what? Do I want to talk to you? Do I want to do game six with you if it's a close game to avoid going back to Memphis? Ooh, that might be fun too.
I hope we get a pressure cooker for the early game. So what you're saying is if it's close or the Celtics are getting blown out, doing pressure cooker for the early game.
No, I'm not doing it if it's close between Milwaukee. Only if the Celtics, I don't want to be on the air if Boston only forces
if the Celtics
a game
are, only if the Celtics yeah. are. And about then to lose. You want to do one if it's close, if there's pressure to be cooked in Warriors Memphis.
Exactly.
I hope I talk to you in the first game and not the second.
That was Aaron Larsoul. I'm Anthony Irwin. This was The Hook.